Welcome to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. I'm Natasha Moore.
And I'm Simon Smart.
Today we're talking about beauty and design and the spaces that we live and work in and asking the question, why do these things matter to human beings? Is even asking this question merely a first world indulgence, or is there something inherently valuable about human creativity when it comes to our buildings and spaces, the built environment that we live in? Simon, you feel like a house that you once lived in helped give you an insight into how important architecture and the design of space really is.
Yes, indeed. This was a hard one lesson for me. When our children were really small, my wife and I and the family lived in this home for about 4 years, and we hated this house. It was awful. And it wasn't only the fact that there were holes in the floor through which slugs would come up onto the floor at night if it rained. And it wasn't just the kitchen that had been, it was obviously original from about 1900 and hadn't had anything done to it. It wasn't just the sloping floor in what was meant to be our dining room, which meant if you were sitting at one side, the table was up to your neck.
Really sounds like a great place to have people around, actually.
Yeah, we did have people around. I'm not sure what they thought of it.
It's
now.
Optimistic.
But, you know, it was more than that. It was just the pokiness of the room. So in every room, you felt like you were cut off from everyone else in the house and just had no sense of that sort of communal flow or a place where you could easily have people and have great times in the house. And so it just meant that whenever I was home and the sun was out, I was out of there. I'd grab the kids and go to the park or to someone else's house. It just wasn't a nice place to be. And so it brought home for me the fact that these things really matter, the way people design houses, the spaces that they create, and the way in which it can be either really good for fostering relationships or really bad, matters a great deal. And Natasha, it's not only the inside of these spaces that we live and work in, but the outside as well. It has a big impact on us. Now, you've recently been to see Kate Winslet in the film A Little Chaos. This is a film about the landscaping of the gardens of Versailles.
The Palace of Versailles shall be the heart of our kingdom, with gardens of exquisite and matchless beauty. Heaven shall be here.
You're inviting new ideas into the gardens. Why?
Welcome to Versailles.
In the end, we have only our instincts. And although the elements may treat us cruelly, patience, care, and a little warmth from the sun are our best hope.
What's the idea behind the title of this film, A Little Chaos?
Yeah, so the story is about this 18th century French woman played by Kate Winslet, Madame de Barra. So she gets a job under André Le Nôtre, who was actually the landscape architect of the gardens of the Palace of Versailles. And she is allowed to design and oversee the construction of some of the gardens. And she has a really different style to the landscapers of her day. So they're all about kind of very classic, orderly, geometric, very perfect designs. But she wants to introduce a little chaos into that kind of perfect style and do something a bit more natural and organic in the King's Garden. So it's kind of about the controversy that follows that.
Yeah, right. So it sets up this kind of opposition between the wildness of nature and the order that humans want to impose on that wildness. Is that right?
Yeah. So the film actually sets this up explicitly in terms of the lost Garden of Eden, the biblical idea that humanity started out in a garden and that we lost that state of close relationship with nature and with one another. And the gardeners in the film are trying to recover that, to create something beautiful out of what might otherwise just be mud and chaos. So there's this great moment in the film where the, you know, hero and heroine in Kate Winslet's own private garden, which is very kind of overflowing and natural. And he says, this abundance of chaos, this is your Eden. And she says, my search for it. So it kind of suggests that there's this search for beauty and for a kind of natural order that's also a wildness, and that's something that's innate to humans. We're all searching for this kind of beauty.
So the chaos of my yard might be something I could defend, do you think? So which wins out? I mean, I've been to Versailles. It didn't look very chaotic to me. It looked all very straight.
There is quite a strong opposition in the film between the natural world of the gardens, which, as you say, aren't really all that natural, but that opposed to how artificial life at court is. There's all this adultery going on, you know, the French, all this scheming, politics, but also lots of hinting that maybe human life should be more organic and more like the natural world. So the characters talk about adapting to the world like well-trained plants. And the film wants to suggest that there should be this quite symbiotic relationship between humans and nature, that our relationship with the natural world should kind of be two-way, and that we're not alien to it. We're actually a part of the creation, and our lives should in some ways incorporate and reflect that.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Today we're talking about beauty, design and space, both the outdoor and the indoor.
Vicky Leo is a project architect from Melbourne. She's studied and thought a lot about how her faith can inform the work that she does. Welcome to the program, Vicky.
Thanks, Natasha.
So, Vicky, tell us a bit about your job. What kind of work do you do?
Well, I'm an architect, and a lot of the work that I do is public and institutional and educational architecture. So I work on projects that might be for schools or for childcare centres or hospitals or sporting facilities for councils and communities.
What attracted you to this kind of work? What led you to want to be an architect?
I think when I was thinking about my study as a teenager, it felt like a good combination of my math skills and also that my creative abilities as well. So having an understanding of maths and physics and being able to combine them with that sort of artistic side of things as well. So it seemed like a good career to go into.
So Vicky, are there ways in which you see your faith intersecting with the work that you have to do?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I have been an architect for about 20 years or so, and in that time have taken a break, about a three-year break from the profession, and used that time away from the profession to sort of reflect on architecture more sort of from a theological and philosophical point of view. But was able to come back to architecture probably more with a centre to what I was doing, understanding of why I was doing it, and after a while just realised that if I was going to stay in this profession, I wanted to be working on projects that were for a broad spectrum of the society, community-based projects, facilities that would be for use by the public, contributing to the development and building of communities and society in general.
Vicky, it must be really satisfying to start a project and then be able to drive past it later and see it, you know, up and running and people enjoying it.
Oh, definitely. I think once you've been involved in that creative process around procuring a new building and seeing it through design and documentation stages and finally built and then seeing it there sort of in bricks and mortar, so to speak, it's definitely satisfying to think, oh, I had a hand in that.
So Vicky, your work obviously contributes in a really obvious way to the common good. What about creativity? What you do is very creative. Where does that fit within your faith and the way that you think about your work as a Christian?
I think in terms of being a creative person, I think we all have the capacity for that. Lauren Wilkinson talks about being a co-creator or a sub-creator, with God being the overall creator. And thinking, you know, in terms of the biblical context in the Old Testament, where it talks about the people who crafted the ark and the people who worked on the temple, them being inspired as artisans and craftsmen. I think there is something that's intangible in that process of creativity.
Finally, Vicky, what's been your favourite project you've worked on and why?
My favourite project is one that I worked on around about 2006 to 2008. It was a school up in Wenderee in Ballarat, and that project was combining two primary schools. It was bringing an adult education house onto the same site. It was bringing a kindergarten onto the same site. I think the reason that I enjoyed it so much was because I could see a real intersection between my faith and my work in that situation. It was a project that happened in a community that was depressed socioeconomically. It was originally was housing for the Olympic athletes for the 1956 Olympics. And then after the Olympics, it became social housing, and the people that moved into those homes have kind of stayed there, and there's sort of been this generational poverty that's developed. So prior to 2006, the state government had an urban renewal project, and what we ended up with there was an educational centre that adults and kids were learning side by side, and kids would be inspired by seeing their parents take homework home and want to learn. And the school, which used to be vandalised from term to term, went from being an object of vandalism to a facility that the community took great pride in and protected even. I think it was satisfying because I saw transformation in the people supported by those facilities.
Well, Vicky, it's wonderful to get a glimpse into the work that you do. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Today we're talking about beauty, design and space, both the outdoor and the indoor.
Simon, if we go back to your story of your dilapidated old house, why do you think this kind of thing, this kind of organisation of space and how it impacts on us, why is it so important?
Yes, and if anyone's in any doubt about my description of the house, it wasn't long after we left that they brought in the bulldozers and got rid of it. And then I have to say that when we moved to our next place, which, you know, is not going to be in country living or something, it's not a mansion, but it did have some really great features. It was light-filled. It had a kitchen that actually worked and enabled us to, you know, host people and enjoy that. We were grateful to the people who'd built this in a way that had a sort of natural flow from a communal indoor area to a communal outdoor area. It just felt welcoming and warm, much more like a home than our previous one. And it was a reminder to us that aesthetics matter, that space matters, and that buildings can be really a form of grace.
And so these kind of apparently pragmatic things really do impact on relationships and the ways that we live our lives. It's surely the case, though, that our culture is pretty obsessed with this whole thing with renovations and with property, with the real estate market. You know, every second show on TV is about property. Do you think there are potentially negative sides to this?
There really is. I mean, we can get obsessed about this. I read an article not long ago by Kevin MacLeod, who's the host of Grand Designs, which looks at all these amazing architecturally beautifully done buildings. But he says, yeah, you can invest too much of a reliance on a building to be the thing that'll solve your problems. I think sometimes we do fall into that trap. But he also believes, I mean, obviously he does, believes that a building project can be really transformative, that it can be, as he describes it, the establishment of order over chaos.
That sounds almost theological. Sounds like something I maybe read in the Bible once.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds like the book of Genesis that describes the Spirit of God hovering over the formless and empty darkness and then calling into life this amazing project. And it reminds me of this sort of God's impulse to create, which is then reflected in humans who are made in his image. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that we're great creators, that these things matter to us, and that we're actually able to, sometimes amazingly, create these spaces that are both beautiful and they work really well and they function well and foster community and relationships.
Yeah, and this is really affirmed by the whole sweep of the Bible. It starts out with a picture of humanity in a garden. It finishes with everyone in a city. And the things that humans have built and made and created, these things that are beautiful and useful, they're there as well. It's a beautiful picture and important to acknowledge that aesthetics are not irrelevant to life or to the Bible's picture of what it means to be human.
Yes, it's a beautiful picture that acknowledges that aesthetics are not irrelevant to human life or to the Bible's picture of what it means to be human. So beauty, design, the spaces that we live in matter to all of us. Thanks for joining us on Life and Faith. We look forward to your company next time.